Ever imagine buying seeds, planting them, having a great harvest, and then like bam, someone tells you can't replant from your own crops, like it's some kind of crazy rule.
Yeah, that's basically the whole deal with this Monsanto versus McFarland case we're gonna deep dive into
Right,
today.
a case that like, has had a big impact on this whole area of intellectual property and contracts, especially for like agriculture.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head there. This case is really fascinating because it kind of puts like these traditional farming practices right up against like a company trying to protect what they see as, their technology, their invention.
We're talking about like those Roundup Ready soybeans, right? The ones
Yeah.
that were like modified to be resistant to the Roundup herbicide. Like I remember when those first came out, it was a big thing for farmers.
Absolutely. And Monsanto licensed these soybeans through this agreement they called the technology agreement. And so farmers could buy the seeds, but they had to sign this thing. And a key part of it was that they couldn't save any seeds from what they grew and then like replant them the next year.
Okay, so this whole technology agreement sounds kind of like a tricky thing, right? Were farmers even like aware of what they were signing? And is it even fair to like prevent them from doing something they've been doing forever, like saving and replanting seeds?
Yeah, those are some of the big questions that come up in this case, and this is where Mr. McFarling comes in.
Okay.
So, Homan McFarling, a farmer from Mississippi, bought these Roundup Ready soybean seeds back in 1998, signed the technology agreement, and then did exactly what he wasn't supposed to do.
He saved the seeds.
Yep, saved seeds, replanted them for a couple years, and Monsanto found out and, well, naturally took him to court.
So we've got like this farmer going up against this huge company.
Yeah.
What were the like legal arguments here?
Well, Monsanto basically had two main arguments. So first was patent infringement. Their Roundup Ready technology, it's patented. And they argued that McFarling, by replanting those seeds, he was essentially like making copies of their invention without permission.
So it wasn't just about him using the seeds that he bought, but like every new seed he planted from those was potentially like a new violation of their patent.
Exactly. And then the second argument was breach of contract.
Oh, right, because of that agreement.
Right. By signing that technology agreement and then saving seeds, McFarling was going against, what he agreed to.
Yeah, that makes sense. But this wasn't just some local court case, was it?
Nope. This thing went all the way up to the Federal Circuit Court, and not just once.
Oh, wow.
Twice they look at first they looked at it for a preliminary injunction against McFarling and then the issue of damages.
Wow, so this case like really went up the legal ladder. But getting back to the specifics here, why exactly couldn't McFarling replant those seeds? I mean, farmers have been saving seeds like forever.
That's where things get legally interesting. It all boils down to this thing called the patent exhaustion doctrine.
Okay.
It's this idea that when you buy something, you're free to do whatever you want with it, use it, resell it, whatever. But when it's something that can like reproduce itself, like seeds, things get a little trickier.
So it's not like if you buy a car, you can resell it, right?
Think of it like a patented light bulb. You can buy it, you use it, you resell it, but you can't make copies of it and then sell those. That would be infringement. And the court applied that same kind of logic to the seeds.
Interesting.
Each new seed that McFarling planted was basically like a new infringement, a new product that Monsanto didn't actually sell him.
That's a pretty interesting point. But if Monsanto was so sure McFarling was in the wrong, why did their initial claim for like $780,000 in damages fail? That's a lot of money.
Well, this is where we get into the nitty-gritty of contract law. That $780,000 number was based on something called a liquidated damages clause in that technology agreement.
Liquidated damages, what is that?
It's basically like a preset amount that both sides agree on in case one of them breaks the contract. You can think of it like a kind of insurance policy for a breach.
All right.
But under Missouri law, that's where this case was. Those liquidated damages, they can't be a penalty. They have to be a genuine estimate of the actual harm from breaking the contract.
So there has to be a connection between that dollar amount and the actual harm done. It can't just be some random huge number just to punish someone.
Right. And the court decided that Monsanto's clause didn't really meet that standard. Their formula was 120 times multiplier on top of the tech fee. And it didn't matter if a farmer replanted like a few seeds or sold thousands on the black market.
So like a small violation or a huge one, same penalty. Seems a bit harsh, right?
That's what the court thought too. They called it the anti-one size rule. It's like saying there's one fine for everything from like jaywalking to stealing a car.
Okay, so Monsanto's attempt to get all those damages didn't really work. But didn't McFarling also say that Monsanto's whole setup was like an antitrust violation? You know, like they were trying to control the whole market and stop competition.
Right.
Did the court agree with that?
Yeah, that antitrust argument was a big part of McFarland's side of things, but the court didn't buy it. They basically said Monsanto's restrictions, like that no saving clause, were okay because of their patent rights. It's kind of like they were saying, hey, Monsanto came up with this tech and they can control how it's used.
So having a patent gives you a lot of power, but you can't use it to like create a monopoly, right?
Exactly. There's got to be a balance. And the court also said that Monsanto wasn't forcing farmers to buy other stuff, just the seeds with their technology.
Interesting. So even though Monsanto won on those big points, you know, the patent thing and breaking the contract, their huge damages claim didn't work out. So what happened next? Did they just walk away?
Not really. Remember, the court said that liquidated damages thing was basically like a penalty they couldn't enforce, but that didn't mean Monsanto got nothing. The case went back to the district court to figure out how much Monsanto actually lost because of what McFarling did.
So back to the drawing board for the damages. How did that go?
A jury had to decide what a fair royalty would be for McFarling using that Roundup Ready technology without permission, and they ended up saying $40 for every bag of seed he saved.
Wow, that's way less than that $780,000 they wanted at first. How much did it end up being?
The final judgment was about $375,000 in damages, plus the court told McFarling he couldn't do it again.
So Monsanto won, even though they didn't get all that money they wanted at first. Did this case have like any lasting impact beyond just this one fight?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Monsanto versus McFarling is like a landmark case. You know, it's still important today. It set a precedent for these kinds of contracts that say you can't save seeds when we're talking about this patented tech that can reproduce itself.
So it's a win for companies like Monsanto who want to protect their stuff, but maybe also a warning to be careful about how they write their contracts.
We got it.
Yeah.
It's a cautionary tale for companies. It shows them they got to make sure those damages clauses are really tied to the actual harm and not just some one-size-fits-all penalty.
This case wasn't just about the legal stuff, right? It feels like it was about this bigger issue, this whole changing world of agriculture and how these new technologies are changing things for farmers.
Yeah, you're right. Monsanto versus McFarling really brought to light this tension that's been growing, you know, between how farmers have always done things, like saving seeds, and this rise of intellectual property in agriculture. And as GMO crops become more common, we'll probably see more cases like this one.
It makes you wonder, are we heading towards a future where farmers have less and less control over their seeds and their whole livelihood because of these patent restrictions? Or is there a way to keep innovating in agriculture and still respect what farmers need?
Those are really important questions, and they bring us to what might be the biggest takeaway from this deep dive into Monsanto versus McFarling.
Okay, I'm ready for it. What's the big picture here?
This case, it kind of reminds us that even these big new technologies, you know, like genetically modified seeds, they still have to work within the rules, the law.
So it's not just about the science and what it can do. We have to think about the legal stuff too, right? Like contracts and patents, all that.
Yeah, you got it. The court said Monsanto could protect their invention, but those contract terms got to be clear and reasonable, especially when someone breaks the rules.
Which takes us back to those damages and that rule Monsanto messed up on, right? The one that said you can't have the same penalty for everything.
Exactly. That part of the ruling had a big impact on how people write contracts now, and not just for agriculture. It's like a wake-up call to be more specific about those damages.
So Monsanto versus McFarling wasn't just about a company and a farmer. It made people more aware of these issues and how the law needs to be more, you know, nuanced, I guess.
For sure. It got people talking about finding that balance, you know, protecting inventions, encouraging new ideas, but also being fair and making sure no one is taking advantage of the system.
Makes you think about what's next for farming with all this biotechnology stuff. Could there be more fights like this one?
It's possible as we get deeper into genetic engineering and all that, those questions about who owns and controls these things are going to get even more complicated and probably lead to more disagreements.
This deep dive has been really interesting. We started with soybeans and ended up talking about all sorts of legal stuff and even the future of agriculture.
It shows how the law is always trying to catch up with new technology and how things are changing in the world.
And for anyone listening who's involved in creating new things or working with the law around those things, this whole mix of intellectual property and contracts and antitrust stuff is super important to understand.
It's a constantly changing world out there and something we all need to be aware of.
Well, if our listeners take away one thing from this episode, it should be that where law and technology meet, There are a lot of tough questions with big implications for everyone. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great talking about all this with you. Keep learning and keep asking those tough questions.